Everything negative, pressure, challenges, is an opportunity for me to rise. Kobe Bryant. Welcome back. I hope everyone is having an amazing day today, and we have a fantastic episode for you. So I know I'm excited. I'm excited to introduce our guest, our first guest for the show, actually. So it's kind of a big deal. But first off, if this is your first time on the podcast, let me fill you in real quick. I played college ball, and it was amazing. I also been working as a basketball trainer, and it's been very educational. But I created Gym Rat J Podcast to reach out to as many parents, coaches, and players to offer the tools and skills that are needed for on the court and off the court so you can be the best person and player that you can be. All right, guys, and with that, let's dive right into it. I got our first guest here on the show today.
Let's go.
Desmond, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you, man?
Good. Really excited for this today, bro.
Heck yeah.
Well, I don't think any of the audience knows who you are exactly, so why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Desmond Miles from Rexburg, Idaho. I've been here since I was 3. Yeah, I'm still here. Trying to do big things in a small town. But yeah, just grew up here, you know, not a ton to do besides outdoor stuff and sports. So spent a lot of my life and time playing basketball. So that's kind of how, you know, led us up to this point here.
I like it. Best sport ever. So in my opinion, I've watched you work a lot.
Yeah.
And you're one of the more talented coaches I've seen.
Appreciate it.
Especially with the one-on-one. So why don't you tell me a little bit more about Miles Hoops Academy?
Miles Hoop Academy.
Hoop Academy.
Okay. Yeah. So I've always struggled or been stressed out like my entire life with what I was going to do when I grew up, you know.
I'm in the middle of that, so you're good.
From a young age, I didn't know what I was going to do. Yeah, I always loved basketball, but the only thing I knew what to do was to like go to school and try to figure it out, get a career from something you learn at school, and then get your 9-to-5 and you get your 401k and
yeah, you call it good.
But as I did that, I really started. I just realized that I loved teaching them kind of the way that I played and just elite footwork and elite skills and moves. And also just like building a relationship with them was something that I really enjoyed. And on top of that, I started to work on kind of like mindset principles, like in basketball, but that were also you could relate to your life. And after I really started working with them, I was like, yo, this is something that I want to make big. This is something that I feel like I really want to blow up and, you know, potentially make my career out of. And so then around June, that was, 2020, I started putting it out there that I was doing private lessons. I got some, you know, big names around here, some guys that were playing college ball, and then some other big high school athletes. And from there, it's just really blown up to
that's sweet,
growing.
So, that's sweet. I know a lot of people that would love to do what you're doing. And I guess my first thought for a question, I didn't even have this plan, but like, how did you get those people to be interested?
It helped that, you know, I knew some people around here, which was a benefit. But one thing that, like, I've done with a lot of my new students, especially, like, high-caliber students, is I'll just be like, hey, yo, come work with me. Come do one session. I'll do it for free. Hmm. And if it's worth your time, like, great, let's keep working. If it's not your jam and you don't think that I have anything to offer to you, then you're not like, that's fine. Like right. You're not going to hurt my feelings, right. But you know, if it works out, then great, let's do it.
the focus?
The focus is right now, I mean, it's really based around just skill development.
Right.
So developing a wide variety of skills, you know, on the court, so that you can be a well-rounded player. You know, I try to teach, you know, all aspects of the game, so you're just that much more dangerous. So
dangerous. That's a good word. That's a good word, bro.
Of course. So that's the main thing that I advertise right now. I do put out there that, like, I'm a mindset coach. And so I try to implement that as much as I can, where kids will bring up concerns that they have, like, that they're going through, like, in the game. They're nervous about this. They're trying to deal with this teammate. When they get to the free throw line, they panic. Or just, like, they get really frustrated on the court. All those things, I try to help them to see things in a different way, give them a different perspective, so that they can handle those things better. Because that mental side of the game is huge. If you're not, if you can't perform mentally, you're not going to perform physically. So anything I'm teaching you in the gym, you're not going to be able to do it if you can't function mentally out there.
Yeah, that's really cool, Dez. That's really, really cool. I think growing up, because I don't know if you know much about my story.
I don't.
So I obviously played high school and stuff. And then I ended up playing at a little junior college at Treasure Valley.
I knew that.
And I played it for 2 years. I had to redshirt for the first one because injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
The second year was really, really good for me. Like, I started for most of the season. It was, you know, we played at all those big schools, right. Snell College, CSI, NIC. And I gotta say, like, the mental part of it was not good. You know what I mean? I was doing good.
Right.
And, you know, like, we'd go to a tournament and I'd have very solid games. But, like, on the mental side, I was struggling. And eventually it affected my game.
Yeah.
Right. I can think of numerous times where, like, I could have benefited from someone to that would understand.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Because for the most part, I feel like as a hooper, like, you kind of either bottle things up or it just explodes. Like, I'm an explosive person, right?
Same. big time, same. Everybody know.
Right. You get after the refs or whatever. And it's, I mean, like, yeah, the call might be bad, but that's not actually what you're upset about. It's something else. Because basketball is a reflection of life. You,
absolutely.
You play through your emotions. That's cool that you work through kids through that. Because, like I said, very underrated.
That's spot on. Like, exactly with what you're talking about. You'd be surprised, but if you were to go to the bottom of why people are getting frustrated on the court, like with themselves or whatever, a lot of times, and people don't even realize that they're doing this, that they've made this connection, but they're going from, if I'm missing these jump shots, a lot of times they're making that the, it's their happiness or their value is contingent on
making that shot.
Them making those shots.
Right.
I've broken this down with a student. He was not shooting very well in one of our training sessions, and I had him sit down. I was like, let's talk about this, bro. And we went through, you know, if I miss this shot, then I'm not going to be good enough to play. And if I'm not good enough to play, you know, it kind of went all the way down to, it was completely tied to his happiness, and how he did on the basketball court determined almost like his value as a human being. And if that's if it goes down that deep, then it's always going to be a battle. Like, you're never going to be able to play to your potential.
You're caging yourself.
Huh.
Yeah,
those are two highest stakes. And, you know, basketball is just a game at the end of the day, but you can learn a lot from it. And these are things that you can learn, but the game should never be tied to your happiness or your value.
I agree 100%, man. That's something I think just in pickup games, that's something I think I need to learn too.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because I'm old and fat now. Like, I got a bad knee and stuff. And I'm trying to, like, dunk on people, you know, and it's just not the same. And that makes me sad.
right? That makes me depressed, maybe.
Yeah.
And then it affects how I play, affects how I treat others, possibly.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I don't know your student or any of the other people you work with too well, but I'm assuming that that could also tie into it as well. It's just, it affects not only what they do on the court, right? But like,
Oh,
kind of like what
yeah.
you said, it's just like it makes them super unhappy.
Oh, yeah. And if you can't process it there on the court, then you're just taking it home with you.
Yeah,
So, I mean,
right.
you know, like after you have like a bad game, a loss, you didn't play well. Like even honestly, like for me, even like pickup.
Yeah.
If I have a bad night of pickup,
It's heavy,
yo,
man.
it sits heavy. It literally sits heavy. And
It
you know, depending on how bad it is, it may last a couple days. At least for me. Like it honestly is like, dang, man, maybe I'm not as good at basketball as I think that I am.
You'd be laying in bed, and it just
Yeah.
goes over in your mind. It's just like, oh man, like if I only passed it to that one guy, or if I only like took that jump shot earlier, like, ah,
Or it's just like, yo, why was my shot so broke
yeah,
today?
right. Why couldn't I dribble? Like I got tinfoil for hands.
Oh yeah. So I mean that's something that I still am working on. Like the mental side of basketball and life in general for me has been absolutely terrible. And so it's really been like the past year that I have worked my butt off, like trying to get good mentally on and off the court. And so because of just all my experiences in life and everything that I've been through, it has helped me to be able to relate to these students. It's not like I'm teaching them something that I haven't experienced for myself and haven't battled for myself. So I'm still going through it. And so I'm just keep learning, and everything that I learn while I'm battling on my own, I teach to my students when they're coming across the same problem.
I like that. I like that. It's instead of sympathy, it's more of empathy, right? Because you understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Well, that kind of ties into an article that I found a little while ago. It's from Thrive Global. I have no idea who they are, but they came out with a really sweet article.
Shout out. Thrive,
Yeah.
Thrive Global.
Thrive Global, we're not
Shout
sponsored.
out.
Come on, bro. But it's basically just talks about Kobe Bryant and three reasons why he's one of the GOATs. And the main categories are loyalty, work ethic, and mental toughness, right? And I just wanted to focus on the last two. And these are things that I would have to say the only reason why he was as good as he was is because of his work ethic,
Yeah.
right? Is because he was okay up here when I can't remember if it was like 2005, 2006. He's going through like some legal stuff,
Yeah.
right, with his family. And the dude, every time he was on the court, he'd be dropping like 35, 40 points every game
Oh, for sure.
that he could make, you know? So I don't know if that was him releasing all that frustration into the game about what was going on in his real life, but
Yeah.
I guess it just made me think like about his qualities as a player,
Right.
right? And how he let that improve his game rather than hurt it. So I guess like since you're a personal trainer, you play basketball for a while, you know how it is. From your perspective, what qualities would you recommend a coach or an athlete learn?
I think that mental toughness is big. Basketball is like, I don't know, it's like a mini version of life, man. You're going to deal with disappointment. You got to learn how to communicate. You got to learn how to deal with people. There's times you have to work hard and you're not going to want to. You know, there's those days where I'm sure Kobe didn't really want to get up early in the morning and, you know, lift and get in thousands of
Be
shots,
there before everyone else
get
is.
there before everyone else is.
Yeah.
So it takes that perseverance for sure. Like you have to have that toughness. But the other big one that I think is important for both, you know, a coach and a player, is just being able to like communicate and work with people. Because you are on a team. It's not just an individual sport. Like it's not like tennis or golf where you can just go out there and do you and not worry about, you know, you have to actually worry about teammates and all those things. So I'm actually reading Phil Jackson's book right now.
Nice.
It's called 11 Rings.
Nice.
And it talks about how when Phil came over and started coaching Kobe, he was a selfish player. Like, that's where everybody says Kobe doesn't pass the ball. This is where it came from, because in the beginning, he would not pass the ball. Like, that was him. He didn't care how his teammates felt. He could care less. He was out there to get a bucket and play his best. He didn't spend time with his teammates off the court. He's dedicated to his craft. He would watch film like crazy, and he was always working. But when Phil got there, he started to change this. So good part, you know, good attributes of a coach being able to communicate to his player. And that's a huge part of becoming a good player, is being coachable. But he came up to Kobe and was just like, hey, I need you to be, you know, essentially a better teammate. I need you to be a leader. And he essentially was like, if you're going to keep playing the way you are, we can trade you. That's not a problem. So here he is.
Phil Jackson offered threats. Phil Jackson
telling Kobe that he doesn't have a problem trading him if he's not willing to, you know, kind of to work with the team. He's like, essentially, he talked to him and was like, I need you to be a leader. So if you want to be a leader, then, you know, we'd love to have you. And he was like, you know, it's going to take some time. And Kobe's like, no, I want to be a leader now. Phil opened his eyes, I guess. I don't know everything that was talked about in that conversation.
So something about him being mentally tough.
Yeah.
I agree, if going from one mindset to the other, just like that, is
being able a little see scary. Yeah, for sure. But he flipped a switch, and then he, you know, the Lakers, Phil Jackson is notorious for the triangle offense, you know. And so through that, Kobe was able to start getting his teammates involved, you know. And there's another story in there where Shaq was hurt for a little bit. And so Kobe was having to take on scoring load, a big portion of the scoring load. Kobe had, I think it was 9 40-point games, 40 points or more games in a row.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think like halfway through that 40-point stint, Shaq came back. But Kobe didn't change. He was still getting buckets. And Phil came to Kobe and he's like, hey, like, yo, it's great that you're scoring 40 points a game, but we're losing the big guy.
Right.
Like, he's losing his fight and his desire to, like, work his butt off, because he's not getting his buckets. You know, he's not getting the buckets he was used to getting. And he's like, we're going to need him down the line. So Phil approached him after he had hit 9 games in a row of 40 or more. And that was the record. Kobe needed one more game to beat the record for most 40-plus point games in a row. And he changed the way he played. I think he still ended up with 30-something in that game.
Right.
But Shaq was much more involved. I can't remember how many Shaq scored that game, but he was much more involved. But he was able to, like, humble himself, dude, there and make that switch to get Shaq involved, because he knew the importance of it,
right,
for down the line. So he was coachable. He was able to, you know, he was being humble in that situation and doing what it takes to do what's best for the team. And that's a huge part of it, as being a great player too.
I like that story. I've never heard that story. And with my mind, like, I'm thinking about, like, the style of play that was happening in the early 2000s. Like, it was a defensive era, right?
Yeah,
like, sure, it was harder to score points in the game. So the fact that he was pulling like 40 plus point games in outrageous. A row is outrageous, man. That says a lot about his mental toughness, right? Just not even that, just in general. It says a lot about him as a player. Okay. All right. So mainly just putting the team first before anything else, you'd say?
Yeah. That, I mean, that's definitely you got to be able to adapt. You got to see what the team needs and be able to adapt to that. And that's the same thing as a coach. Like, I had so many coaches that it was so much like their way or the highway, and it did not matter what the talent looked like or what the special abilities of certain players were that year. They would not adapt.
Yeah.
They would force them into their system. Because of that, they never reached the potential of their team. And so that was a huge thing for me, and it stunted my growth as a basketball player. Completely shut me down. Like, before I hit school ball years of basketball, I would have said, like, I was the, like, top of my age group. Like I was a good player, man. And then once we hit school ball and I was forced into this system that didn't really flow well for me, I became a fifth quarter player overnight. And so being able to see what you have as a coach and not just cram people into what you have and see what you have, like, player wise and what their strong suits are, what their weaknesses, and be able to make your plan from there, I think is a huge part of being a coach. And then as a player, you know, sometimes you're going to have guys that are just like, you may have been the bucket getter before, but then you come to, you know, a different team or whatever, and there's someone that's better than you. Yeah. And like, they're a lot better at getting buckets. And so your role kind of has to change. And some people are better at that than others. I mean, you look at Carmelo Anthony. Okay. My favorite player. Okay. He, you know, as he got older, he wasn't as quick. He wasn't able to be that bucket getter that he was. I mean, he's still a bucket, okay? Yeah. But he's not a 30 every single night guy anymore. And he had a hard time letting that go. And so, that was a big part of why he kind of got released and was out of the league for a while. And sometimes that's what it takes, is to get humbled, to get your eyes open that way. But he came back, and he is playing phenomenal right
he's
now.
He's doing really well.
He just became, I think he's number 11. 10. Is it
11?
Was it 11 that he became, like, last night?
Yeah, I think so.
Last night he passed, was it Hakeem?
Oh, I'm about to look that up.
I think it was a Hakeem that he just passed. But he's been phenomenal this season, and it's because he was able to adapt his role. Another story is Jared Dudley. Like,
yeah,
people would be surprised that he got like college player of the year. I can't remember what school he was going to, but he was at a pretty good school, and he got player of the year. Now, if you look at Jared Dudley, you probably, you know, what he's doing now, you would not think that, but he used to be a bucket getter. He used to be a bucket getter, but he got into the league, and it's like, yo, there's a lot of people that are quite a bit stronger and faster than me. They're better at scoring than me. And so he really changed his game to be, you know, one thing I can do and be able to help my team is be a knockdown shooter.
Right.
I can be a knockdown shooter, and I can work my butt off on defense. And he became an elite defender. A lot of times he's been put on, you know, a lot of teams' best guards.
He holds his own.
He holds his own,
which is impressive to me because he's not exactly a phenomenal athlete.
For sure. No.
But he definitely has that grind.
Shane Battier has a very similar story.
Right. You know, I keep thinking of Boston's big three back in like 2008
mm-hmm.
when they, you know, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, they all joined together. And like before they went to Boston, like Ray Allen was a, what, 25 plus per game
something
type of
like
guy.
That. Yeah.
Kevin Garnett, like a 23 point game. Like these guys were all three of them all-stars.
Yeah, they were all like the go-to guys
right.
on the team, really.
Very heavily involved with the offense. And in my personal opinion, I think Ray Allen is better than Paul Pierce. But guess who had the ball all the time with Boston?
Paul Pierce.
The truth, right? And Ray Allen's points dropped by like 8 or 9, right? Kevin Garnett, same thing. But it was all for the sacrifice of the team, and look where that led them.
Yeah,
you know,
for
just
sure.
A championship because they were willing to work with each other.
It's the same thing going right now, honestly, with James Harden and Kyrie and Kevin Durant.
Like, I have been super impressed.
They are not worried about how many points they score. They don't care. Like you can see, like last night, my brother was talking about, he was watching James Harden was just cooking. And every time he was getting a bucket, Kyrie, you could just see him was just hyped. Like, every time he was hitting a bucket, Kyrie was just like, you could see he was stoked for him. And so he's able to, you know, be happy for his teammate and understand that's, he's not going to shut him down from his game, being able to play his game. He's just very supportive in it. And they've been able to mesh really well. So that's been a lot of fun to watch.
It has. I've been very impressed with how they've developed over the past few weeks, I guess, honestly. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I have anything else for you, Dez. How can the audience, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so my training page is period. I don't get on there as much as I should. I think miles.hoop.academy on Instagram. That's how you can reach out to me. But that's the best place to find me.
Cool. All right. Well, I mean, like I said, I've seen you work with kids a lot. And, you know, because we share the same gym. We rent out the same gym. Yeah. And, like, I'll come in and watch you for 5 or 10 minutes. And it's fun to watch you. Like, you're very passionate with those kids. So if anyone's out there listening, if they're interested with getting a one-on-one coach from a college athlete, I would honestly say that Desmond's one of your best guys. Definitely.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I really do. It's something I do love, and I love the game, but I also love creating elite human beings, man. That's something that I've just really enjoyed with it, making them elite hoopers and also elite human beings so they can handle the game well and everything that, you know, it throws at them, and then teach them how to, you know, transition it to what they go through in life. It's all there.
It's all there.
Well, thanks again, Desmond, for coming on the show. It was great having you, man. Now, I hope you guys liked this episode. It was such an awesome experience to have Coach Desmond on the show with us. I'm excited for future discussions with him and also with the new ballers, new players and coaches. We got a couple more potential interviews lined up, so definitely stay tuned for those future ones. If you like the show, tell your friends and look me up on Facebook and Instagram. Just look up Gym Rat J and it'll pop up, I promise. If you have any questions about the show, feel free to reach out to me anytime. Till next time.